Okay, we're beginning now the 10th chapter in the laws of Tumas Hames. It's not a hard chapter at all. Matter of fact, I think it's one of the easier ones. We're going to totally focus on the Beis HaPras. We're going to focus on the Beis HaPras. This is going back to what the Rambam discussed in Chapter 2, Law 16. I'll just briefly summarize it, but this chapter is the full explanation of it. The Rambam said in Chapter 2 that a field that had a grave, for sure, 100% Jewish grave there, no question about it, for whatever reason, shouldn't have happened, it got plowed over, and the bones got crashed and smashed. You can't see any bones or nothing. It's just all done.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's called that's a Beis HaPras. Literal, it means a house of half. Pras, to be pore salishma, to break. Like
so when
breaking
you visit
in half.
The grave, what do? You visit the whole field, or what do you
just do? Relax.
You put flowers?
Relax. So anyway, that is called, and we'll explain everything. All the details are coming. I'm just giving you just a symbol. It's you plow it out, and you all over. That entire area you fly is called a Beis HaPras. Now, what halacha is germane? The halacha is if you would scoop up any random clod of earth, the rabbis, this is only rabbinic, right. And once it's rabbinic, the rabbis can do it the way they see please, as we'll see in this chapter we're going to learn. The rabbis say, if you touch or move, there could be a barley corn of a bone somewhere in the sand. You may not recognize. There's so much sand and mud and all the other garbage that's in the earth. And you won't be able to discriminate between that and a barley corn of a piece of bone. So the rabbis made a rabbinic, biblically there's no tomb at all. But b'maga b'masa, maybe it's there. And it cannot be metame ba'ohel. If you walk through it, you can't be tame because you can't be metame at all. You have a much bigger shear of bone, which is definitely not there because the plow crushed it all into little things. That is the tumah we're going to discuss. Everything you want to know about a Beis HaPras is coming up over here. So again, to underscore, it's only rabbinic tumah, number one. Two. The most rabbinic tumah can only be if you move or touch. Because then maybe, touch what? Any clod of earth. You look at the earth, I don't see a bone in there. You're right. How well are you seeing what a barley corn of a bone looks like when you got rocks and pebbles and all kinds of garbage in the earth over there? So we can't say doraisa your tame because who knows? But rabbinically you are. If you walk through the field, there's bechalal no problem because there's no way you have enough to make an ohel to be tame in that. Good.
No, not necessarily. No, it's the same as the clod that you're picking up.
You're not going to be. You'll have no tumas ohel, and you and you're not touching. You're not moving it.
But you're touching it,
and you may not be moving it. It's hard to know if you're touching it. Doesn't talk about that.
But here, my question.
There's
was.
No. Okay, whatever. There's okay, no tumas ohel. It's clearly no tumas soil. You're not touching it. Your shoes are touching it.
You're walking barefoot.
Your shoes.
Okay, how often do you walk barefoot in a field?
Barefoot through the park?
It's not a park.
It's not likely.
I mean, when we did the temple...
Okay. Let's just...
there a Beis HaPras there, too?
No.
No?
Okay, let's move on. Let's get to the details. This is where the excitement is. Okay, we're now Chapter 10, Law 1. Ezehu Beis HaPras. Okay, what is the definition of a Beis HaPras? Zeh HaMakom, this is a place, Shenechrash Bo Kever, where there was a known grave, and it was plowed. Obviously, you shouldn't have done it. It shouldn't have happened. But let's say it happened anyway. And what happened now? Sharei Nisdaktiku Atzmos HaMeis. The bones of the mace have been pulverized. Besocha Ofer, inside the dirt. Vinisparsu, they've been shattered into itty bitty pieces. Bechol Hasada, throughout the field. Vigozru Tuma, and the rabbis made a decree of Tuma. Al Kol Hasada Shenechrishba, and the entire field that was plowed. Hakever, the grave. And remember, this answers all a lot of questions. Again, it's a rabbinic tuma, and they decide when you're tuma or not. Remember, once it's not biblical tuma, Don't you think to ask, well, that's not logical. We're not dealing with logic. We're dealing with what's the propensity of what the rabbis are worried about. Somehow, there's absolutely no tumah that you have to worry about d'oraisa. So now they're just afraid because you don't see. Remember, you can't be tumah if you don't see a barley corn. The odds are, in a huge field, that clotted earth does not have a barley corn.
The odds are.
And the odds are when you walk through the field, you're not touching a barley corn. They only said if you're going to take a clod of dirt, and you have this clod of dirt, they rabbinically say, okay, we don't want you using the dirt, and that we're going to make you tummy
that's
for
the
it.
Answer to make
that's what I'm saying. So that's
so
number...
They're
allowed... They set the rules. There's no tumma biblically, so they are doing it in a way...
They're being lenient. Because
then wait,
no, they've been strict.
They're strict.
Because
they're
the Torah says you're not tummy at all.
Right.
So they started off being strict.
Okay.
Within the stringency, they set the parameters of what is the most likely scenario and what could bring you to transgress the biblical prohibition if we wouldn't lay in the rabbinic prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not looking so much for logic or as opposed to likelihood.
Right.
And therefore unusual cases that won't make a decree, as we'll see shortly. Now, the first question is, well, how much of the field does that happen to? How far? Now, how far can you stretch bones of one corpse? 20 miles. What if the field's 20 miles long in Texas? And you pull out all the way across 20 miles. Is that 20 miles going to be dead? No. So the rabbi's going to give you their estimation of how far it should go. You have to listen carefully to this point. Although you may question what the Rambam means, but you'll see in the two halachas later, this is clearly what the Rambam means.
Whoa.
He says, the tumah goes, afilu, okay, hold on. Afilu chorash al gabe ha'aron, let's say you only plowed over the grave, not the body, the coffin.
The casket.
The casket. And you took your plow and you smashed the top of the casket and you did not even touch the body. The body's still 100% intact. But you smashed up that casket over there. Even though it was implanted in the ground with many layers. And many stones. So far much. Even if on top of the casket was room a height of shtek almost two floors. That means it's going in the ground a good, I don't know, 15, 20 feet.
Yeah, more.
And you got the body 20 feet below, let's say, and it's filled with stones, and that is part of the grave site, okay? And all you're doing is touching stones, and you're not for sure touching a body. This is where the rabbis are being strict over here. V'charesh ala kevra, and you plow over just the gravestone area, the right, but not the body you didn't touch for sure. Still, areyesa osapras.
Whoa!
Obviously, they make a decree for the gravestone site over the body itself. Obviously, you see that's the way. If we're going to allow one, because going to say I can do the other one as well. That's where they want to. They're strict on that. How far does this go? Okay. Ad kamahu nasa besa pras. How far is this besa pras extend? Mea ama al mea ama mimokom hakever.
Whoa.
100 amos in both directions.
Feet.
No, no. That's what I said. It's not what you think it is. Okay? Even though I know what the words are saying.
It's a radius.
You'll have to have a bitachon that I know the next halacha.
Okay.
That it clarifies what this is saying. So imagine the picture you see on the screen, the external boundaries from across, all the way across, well, that is 100 amas. Okay? And we assume, yeah, from point center of the grave. You see that circle right in the middle? That's where the grave, you know you plowed the grave, so you know what you did. The grave was there. So now you have a 100 ama. What are you going to call it?
Diameter?
Not a diameter, because the other way will be more. It's 100 square feet around it, with that being point center. The grave is point center. You do 100 amas, 50 amas to its left, and 50 amas to its right, going straight through the kever, east to west, north to south, 50-50. So really you've effectively created four quadrants of 2,500 square amas. It's 100 by 100, 10,000 square amos around the center point of the grave, which creates four quadrants, as it were, of 2,500 amos each. That's the rabbis. They are being strict, so they could say how strict they want to be. They however they determine, they estimated Kabbalistically or whatever, they're going to say if you're plowing a field. Now, that's regardless if you're going to plow a mile in one direction. Now, obviously, you plowed less than it. It can't be more than that. If you only plowed 10 feet, that's as much as it could be, right? But they say when you start the plow and you go in one direction, you go another direction, how far can we assume that there'll be a barley corn of bone in this area? It's in this 10,000 square foot amma area with 50 ammas each direction making a square like that. That's the rabbi said. Why? That's the way, that's as strict as they want it to go. No stricter than that. That's per body. We will discuss later what if there are more bodies. You can theoretically have a much bigger base of process because every body is allocated this much space.
Did we say the body's still there at the center?
One more time. You plowed the grave. You've obliterated it. It ain't there no more. It was. In any, you pick where the grave was, and we'll put that circle right there. And now you've plowed like crazy up and down as far as you want to go. We plot out the 10,000 square amas from where Point Center was, not where it is, because we've plowed it out. There's nothing left over there.
You plowed over it.
I don't understand what you're saying. If you plowed it, you took the plow, you smashed it to smithereens. No, that's not what it says. I don't know what English is telling you otherwise. It means plowed over means you smashed it to smithereens. Yeah, so you smashed the coffin to smithereens. We're still going to do that 10,000 square amos.
That's what I was asking. The body's still there.
Oh, well, if the body's there, well, obviously, then there's going to be a second factor we have to deal with. You know where the body is, so that area has tumas oil. If the body is still there, then that little area, right, 6 feet, whatever, that you know where it is still.
Right.
So there's no question it's tumas oil right over there. Or if you want to touch it, then tumas maga. That's not the issue. We're still talking about the base hapras. Right. Obviously, where there is a grave, there's a grave. So the halacha is either you plowed the entire grave, the corpse and everything is gone. That was the Point Center over there. We're going 100 amas in every, not every direction.
No,
but
50, 50.
50, 50, 50.
But 50. This is 70 in this direction.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
That's why I belabored to say 50 west, 50 east, 50 north, 50 south. And I belabored to say four quadrants of 2,500 square feet. But obviously, if you only took off the top of the grave, still the entire base of pras is rabbinically prohibited. And obviously, the grave is a grave. It's no different than a grave that wasn't...
If the body was still there, what was spread?
The rubble of the grave stone. The stone was spread. Remember, there's a coffin. It's a stone coffin.
And that always
right? And remember we said it was 20 feet of stone. And you only hit the top layer of the stone. And the rabbi said, that's still, and that's going 10,000 square feet.
That's a two-minute too.
That's what we said. Right? That's also part of the rabbinic decree. Because if you're not going to be strict on that, then we won't be strict on a corpse either.
So the barley corn of stuff is not necessarily a body. It's also a stone.
That's correct. That's what we said.
Sorry.
We didn't say anything contrary to that.
A plow shouldn't move anything more than an umma. The sharp thing.
That's what you say. The rabbis say not like you.
Steve, okay.
So, they get, since they're the rabbis, they win,
This plow is being pulled by an ox or something.
Doesn't matter. You could do it yourself.
All that stone and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, if it's a strong plow. For the stone, it could be wood. Doesn't have to be stone. Could be wood. No, no, it could be anything. It does whatever the box was. What, whatever it is. Let's say it's strong. Okay, if it's not strong, it doesn't do it. We're just saying if it would, and it's able to demolish any bit of the grave stone area, it's all the same. I know there's for sure not even any tumah. The rabbis made the decree because of maybe in a regular case where it's a corpse, they say we have to recognize 10,000 square feet. Now, he clarifies this even more so you don't make a mistake and learn the wrong shot in halacha base. You're wondering, why is he belaboring it so that we won't make the mistake and we'll agree that the picture over here is the correct picture? So now he says, base, kol hameruba, any, all the squares. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We got the 100 by 100, it's really in four quadrants. So all of that is Shehu Beis Arba Sa'in. That entire square is four Beis Sa'.
Yeah, each cohort.
One Beis Sa'. Is 50 square amas.
Right, 25 by 25.
One base saw is 50 square amas, and that's every one of these little squares is one base saw, 50 by 50. You got four of them. You put them together the way you have it. It comes out 100 by 100. That's how he's clarifying what he meant before. Right? Hareu Beis HaPras. That is the Beis HaPras, not to be confused, 100 amas from the corpse.
Right.
Okay? Va'afar, and now what is the law? He's just repeating what he said in chapter 2 now. Va'afaral, and any dirt, this is where you don't see any bones, because we're not likely to see any bones. Now, let's say you did a really lousy job of plowing, and you see a skull. Well, there's no Shilers. There's a skull there. It's going to be Metamiyu like any skull would be Metamiyu. We're talking about a classic case where you did a good plowing job, and you don't see anything. Obviously, if you're going to see bones all over the place, so you don't have to make any decrees. There's a bone sitting in your field, right? The decree is when you don't see anything. That's the whole point. So now, va'afaro and the dirt that you pick up in your hands, where you don't even see a bone. Mitame b'maga b'masa. It's mitame b'maga b'masa. Now, obviously, if you have not, if you only plowed the outer layer of the casket, you're not going to find bones either. But the rabbi still said, if you touch any of the earth, you're metama b'maga b'masa, as we explained. But for ain't a metama b'ol, it cannot be metama. Oh, well, it doesn't. If you're standing on the earth, or the earth is over you, there's no ol tumah, because there really isn't anything to deal with in terms of an ol. Right? V'chein ha-mail al beis ha-pras, and if you're on top of the beis ha-pras, that tar. So there's no tumas ol on that. Okay, good. That's very clear what a base of process. That's how far we take it.
Yeah.
Okay, now the questions are, is it possible that the base of process does not go the full 100 amas across? What must also not happen for us to have such a large base of process? So, Gimel. He's chelacher shezakever. He's beginning to plow the grave. And he's plowing away. He's doing a good job. Before he hits the 100 amma mark. Now, he goes more than 100 ammas. We stop it at 100 ammas. He can extend. He could plow 10 times this square. But the square is as far as it's going. But now we have not reached the furthest perimeters of the square. So now let's say halfway through. What does he do? Nieres hamachresha. He empties out the plow. The plow's got a lot of sand there. So what does he do? He empties it out. Oh, sheheitiach pasel v'gadol. Or he bangs it against a stone or against a fence just to get rid of the sand. Okay. That is very important, because then whatever bone may have been schlepped along, you just knocked it out. Now, the next part of sand, earth you're plowing, there was no bone schlepped there. Where the assumption is, whatever, the rabbi's saying, you know, definitely when it hits the grave, it's moving bone. And it's going to be a significant amount, but the more you plow, the less likely there's going to be anything. Remember, you're smashing it. constantly smashing it. How far can you possibly drag it? Maximum 50 amas in each direction. But if you stopped in the middle and cleaned out the plow, then when you re-plow, you're plowing virgin territory where there was no bone to begin with. So if you know where and when you did that, that's when the base upras would end, and it would be a smaller base upras because you haven't done it that far. Right? Ad shom, until there.
That's it.
That's the end of the base of pras. Vashar and all the other areas where he continues to plow afterwards are tar. Why? Because he never reached 100 amos by the pulling of the plow from the initial place where it hit the grave. Okay? Now, how about another scenario? What if you plowed and you just stopped to take a rest? It's not one continuous plowing motion.
You didn't dump it.
Normally, when you're plowing, you know, you plow for a while. You know, these aren't snowflake workers who after 3 minutes need a coffee and check their email. I mean, these guys, I got to do 100 amas. How much is 100 amas? 200 feet. How much is 200 feet? It's two-thirds of a football field.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of a football field. That's not that far. That's not that far. And usually, when you start plowing, boom, you knock it off in one shot. There's nothing to talk about. But what if the guy stops, takes a coffee, and waits, and there's a break in the plowing action, but you didn't clean out the plow? So he says like this, Charash kemo chamishim ama oyoser. Let's say he plows going of the 100. He's 50. Let's say gone 50 oyoser, a little bit more, and now he rests, but he did not shake up the plow. And then v'chaser v'charash, and then he continues to plow, even though he took a long break, until he finishes the complete 100 amas, hakol beis apras, the whole thing is a beis apras. Doesn't matter. Stopping doesn't make a difference, and it's logical. Why should it make any difference? You're still, you haven't done anything to the bones. Right? Now, what if hayachoresh v'hole chutz l'me'ama? What if he goes beyond 100 amas all in one plowing motion without any break? So up till 100 amas it's tameh, yeah. But me'me'a amas v'lachutz tar. After the first 100, everything is tar. Why? The rabbis have decreed she'ein atzmos kever magios liyoser mimea. The bones of the grave cannot go more than 100 amas in this area. So that's pretty clear case.
So he disperse
whatever he's going to disperse. Yeah, that's it. That's the maximum dispersal is 100 square amas.
So he knew he went over a grave and stopped, cleaned up the plow, then stopped there. There's no more.
That's right. That's right. There were only a little bit, just maybe a foot or whatever.
But when you say 50 or 100, is he starting?
Now, obviously, if you're a smart fellow, remember, when are you allowed to?
How can you do 100?
When are you allowed to get rid of a grave if it was done without permission? Remember, but what are you supposed to do? Take the body out. You exhume the body. You exhume the body. Take a layer of dirt beneath it till virgin soil, and deposit it somewhere else in a respectful way. This guy didn't want to wait any time. I'm just plowing through. Now, what would have been the menschlich thing to do is just take the corpse out. He didn't want to bother. Or maybe it was too hard to do it. I don't know. But so that's why it makes it the base sapras. Now, what Halakha Dalet, all this Halakha is going to tell us is unusual situations where even though according to the criteria that we just set down, very well the bones could be spread 100 amas, but the rabbis only make a decree in usual situations. They don't make cases of unusual situations. Even though the logic would be the same, but we have a general rule. Rabbis only make decrees in scenarios that normally happen.
Right.
Because if this happens, okay, if that's normal, a lot of people do this, then they may mix it up with the Doraisa. But if it's an unusual case and it doesn't happen often, the rabbis never make decrees on those kinds of cases. And therefore, even though the logic, well, they could still move the bone around, we don't care. That whole Isser is only Derabbanan. They are strict, and they can decide where to be strict and where they don't want to be strict. Remember, there's really no Tumah there. There is no Tumah there.
It's there.
Maybe, in Doraisa terms, what are you worried about? A little barley corn? Forget it. It's not, it's Batel Barov. It's nothing there. But the rabbi said, we're going to say it's Tumah. Finish it. We'll never come to do the sin. So they can decide how far they want to be strict. And if it's an unusual case, they don't want to do it. That's going to be the underlying principle in Dalet, regardless of the logic. So, Let's say, for example, you find bones out in the open.
Ooh.
Let's say you find a bunch of Jewish dead bones out in the open, and you just plow it out. So what would your logic have said to you? It's a base of pras for 100 amas. Because why not? I see the bones. Whereas Barak said, no base of pras. Why? Very unusual. Jews do not leave bodies out in the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only time you find that, if chasm, there's a pogrom. Pogroms, Baruch Hashem, are not usual. They're often, but not usual. And therefore the rabbis are not going to make a decree of such a case. That's where we have the logic says one thing, but the decree says it's
not Jewish bones.
It's not. No, no, it is. You know it's Jewish bones. Doesn't matter. You know it's Jewish bones. Even if you know it's Jewish bones, for sure it's Jewish. They're Jewish corpses. They have tzitzis on their bodies, and they have a kippah on their head, and they're dead. Okay? So they know they're Jews. Okay? Doesn't matter. We don't make the decree in an unusual, rare situation. That's the point. So, cheska sat soma samachus shel bottom. First of all, I jumped the gun. There's a little preamble part before we get to that rule, but it's fine. Number one, we have a chazaka that when you find bones, now let's say you don't know the nature of bones. This is just a little off topic a little. Let's say you see in the ground bones. And, you know, it's not a whole skeleton, it's just some bones. And the question is they human bones or animal bones? Well, not until recently. What happened when an animal died? What'd you do with an animal? Until recently. You let the carcass sit on the ground. It's food for the birds, whatever. Okay, now we're burying the dogs. We're burying everybody. But we're not
burying the people. Just the dogs.
So if you're plowing and you see bones under the ground, you should assume it's a human bone, and you should assume it's Jewish bones. Okay, cheskas hadzamas hamachusa shein shel adam. We assume the chazok van bones under the ground. You assume it's of human bones. Ad shivar hashem, unless you categorically know it's an animal. But if you're not sure, we assume it's human bones. Because we don't bury animals. And the reverse, the cheskas hamas hamagulos, when you find bones that are on the outside, just regular, run-of-the-mill outside bones, we would assume shem shel behemah is a behemah, because normally we don't leave human being bones outside. Unless you know they are from a person, because the simple answer is kavod hameis requires us to bury a body. There's no kavod hameis for an animal. No kavod for that. Okay, fine. That's just a general rule to determine bones, if they're base of pras bones or not. Now, here's the unusual cases. You see a ditch filled with Jewish bones, and that's not usual for Jewish bodies to be thrown in a ditch. Or the bones of a person are piled on top of the ground, which is also not a usual way to bury Jews. And now you plow these bones, elu imasod, together with the field. That's two cases. We're going to have a few more unusual cases. Or shecharash sada she'avad bo. Let's say you have a field where the body was lost. You don't know. You know it was buried, but it wasn't there. That's an unusual case. Usually you know where a body is buried. Or shenimtza bo kever. Or as you're plowing, you never knew there was a kever. And now you see one. Okay? So maybe that was a lost one too. These are all unusual cases.
No big
as opposed to the classic case. You know there's a bone, there's a grave, and you're plowing it.
Yeah.
That's the normal case where rabbis made the decree. Hareza in osapras. That does not make a base of pras. Here it comes. Shol goes through tumah. The rabbis did not make the decree of tumah. El al sada shenechesh ba kever vade. Only on a grave where you know for sure there was a kever. For sure. That will exclude the case of the kever was lost. Or let's say you weren't even realized there was one over there. And similarly, if you plow a corpse in the open field, also, doesn't make any sabras, because those cases, it's very unusual. They only made a decree in cases that are usual. If it's not usual, we do not make that decree. Okay, that's fairly straight and simple.